Do you have a great team around you, or are you looking to build a great team in your ministry? Either way, we're entering into a major pastoral shakeup around the country. And the question is how do you either keep the team that you have, or how do you build a great team as all these pastors are going to start shifting positions? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode. So the big question is this: how do pastors like us, who remain focused on the mission of Jesus and serving our communities without being distracted by everything in the world around us, how do we increase our effectiveness while living a lifestyle that doesn't compromise our health, our families, or our personal relationships with Jesus? That's the question this podcast is going to answer. I'm Dr. Brandon Partycooper, and welcome to the Ministry Hackers Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Ministry Hackers Podcast. I hope you're doing well wherever you are. It is spring, still on the way. It is raining outside again for me here. We are entering into the free agency of the NFL. Now, for many of you, you know that I'm a huge Chiefs fan, and my Chiefs, Super Bowl champions last year, go to the Super Bowl this year and kind of lay an egg. They didn't do so well. So we have a great team. But unfortunately, one area, particularly our front line on the offense, just didn't get the job done. And there were injuries and we had to move some people around. And it was just a rough game for everybody to watch. Even if you weren't a Chiefs fan, you were rooting against Tom Brady for most likely. And you watch the Chiefs just really, you watch poor Patrick Mahomes. He ran all over the field trying to make something happen, trying to, you know, be a magician and create something out of nothing. But at the end of the day, the line just didn't hold, and the defense got in and just made Mahomes' day rough. And even though the Chiefs are a great team, and even though they've gone to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, there's still areas for them to fix and still areas for them to figure out. So we're in free agency in the NFL, and so they're going out and they're looking for all the best players that they can. They're trying to find replacements for that line. And one of the things we're running into is we're spending a lot of money for new linemen, and we're missing out on opportunities for other skill position players. And so the free agency is a tricky market to be in. It's, you know, trying to figure out, how do you assess talent? How do you get the right people on the team or the right people on the bus, and make sure that maybe even you're getting some of the people that you need to off? You're creating cap space. You're looking at the age of your players, all of those things. And you hope that when free agency is over and you come out on the other side, you're in a better position for the draft, but ultimately you're in better position for the season so you can go back to the Super Bowl the next year. At least that's where we are as far as the Chiefs go. And so what I want to talk about today is we are kind of entering into the same situation here in ministry. With all of the, with everything that's happened in 2020 and everything that's gone on, you know, we're entering into a free agency type of situation where a lot of ministry leaders are shifting positions. We have a lot of lead pastors who are transitioning out. Some of them are retiring. Some of them are just saying, I'm done. I've had enough ministry. I'm going to go do something else. We have a lot of youth pastors and kids pastors. They're shifting positions. They're moving to larger churches, or some of them are moving to smaller churches. Whatever the case is, we're entering into this time where a lot of pastors are changing jobs and changing churches and changing areas of the country. And the question is for all of us, especially if you are a lead pastor, the question is how do you, number one, if you already have a great team, how do you keep that team? How do you make sure that you're not losing them to another opportunity that's down the road, another area of the country, or worse, down the street? You know, how do you make sure that you have, if you've built a great team, how do you make sure you keep them? But then at the same time, if you have a team that you need to, either you need to upgrade some of the positions, you need to bring in new people, maybe you have some people who are stepping out or stepping off, and you are in a position where you're having to build a new great team, how do you do that? And that's what I want to talk about in this episode of the podcast, because there are ways and there are things that you can do that that will help you build your team to what you need it to be, or if you already have that, will help you keep that team. Now, there's one very obvious thing that you can do, and we're going to save that to the very end. That's going to be our last one. But I want to cover some things that maybe you don't really think about. And quite honestly, for some of us as pastors, we are a little bit resistant to. And so the first one is you need to mentor the members of your team. Mentor them. You're their leader and you're their pastor. So invest in their long-term success. Especially if you have young pastors and ministry leaders, ones who've just come out of Bible college or just come out of some sort of training situation, maybe they're in their first position and they're looking to you to show them the way, to show them the ropes. They're not looking to you to just use them up and plug them in and send them off to the wolves. They're looking to you to guide them and help them and develop them for a long-term ministry career. We have a lot of pastors and ministry leaders who just don't make it very long simply because they weren't trained well and they weren't mentored well for the longevity of ministry. Ministry is it's a marathon of marathons. Many of us, at least a lot of pastors that I've known, a lot of pastors, they don't necessarily ever retire. Sometimes they go into semi-retirement. Some of them stay on in their position, well into, their glory days. A lot of them stay in and are still effective. And so, ministry is a long marathon to stay in. And so as pastors, especially as lead pastors, if you have a team under you, then you need to invest and mentor them, grow them up, prepare them for their next position. Now, I understand, we like to have this idea that when we hire a pastor onto our staff, that they're going to be there forever. And that would be wonderful if that were the case. But the reality is that's just not the way things work anymore. I can't remember what the statistics are on a youth pastor, but I know, I think the average stay of a youth pastor is right around a year. It may even be less than a year now. But across the board, many pastors aren't in the position they're in. They're not in a single position for more than 5 years, and a lot of them not past 10. Now, some of lead pastors, they're a little bit of the exception to the rule. A lot of them will stay 10 plus years. But if you're a staff pastor, or if you have staff pastors under you, most likely they're not going to be there for the long haul. They're going to be there for a few years, maybe move on to another, another position. They may move up, eventually become lead pastors themselves. And so what you need to do is not think I'm going to keep them forever and I'm going to create this, barrier around them and hold them with a closed hand and hold them onto my team as long as I possibly can. Instead, what you need to do is hold them with an open hand and say, okay, I'm going to prepare you for whatever that next position is. Maybe you have a youth pastor and you want to prepare them to be the best youth pastor they can be for the next youth pastor position they're in. Or maybe in them, you see that there's lead pastor potential. And so you want to prepare them to eventually be a lead pastor, however you do that, but mentor them, invest in them, pour into them and pour into them, resources and training and teaching and your time and your expertise and your, years of experience, pour that into them. Not from the intention that's going to make their current ministry with you better, although that may happen, but invest in them so that they will have a great long-term ministry career. Mentor them into longevity, essentially. The second thing is challenge them. Each member of your team has areas they need to grow in. And so challenge them to grow. Sometimes what we do is we will see individuals who have areas of weakness or areas that they struggle in or whatever. And so we put them in their areas of strength. Now, I think that there's some value to that depending on the situation. There are some things where they're weak in an area that if they are never, strong in that area, it's okay. It's not going to hurt them long-term. They can always find somebody around them. Some pastors are very charismatic and not very systems oriented. And so forcing them to be better systems people is probably not a good investment of time. But at the same time, the team that you have underneath you, they may struggle, with maybe they have a hard time with public speaking. Maybe they have a hard time getting up and preaching. Maybe they have a hard time putting together a good solid sermon or a good solid teaching lesson for a small group or a discipleship or class or whatever. Maybe they're not great at meeting people. This was one of the areas that I really struggled in early on. I'm very shy. I'm very withdrawn. I'm kind of the guy who likes to just sit in the back and watch what's going on in the room and talk to one person at a time. I'm not the guy that, goes up and shakes hands with people I don't know and It's a conscious effort on my part. And so early on in my ministry, I really struggled with that. And I had some mentors or pastors that I worked for who would just get frustrated with me and just say, you just need to go do that. And, you know, and them forcing me to do that actually made it harder for me, because then I felt all this pressure and all this tense, you know, anxiety, because I wasn't comfortable with that. And, but then I had other mentors who would show me how, who would actually walk me, you know, up to somebody and, you know, I introduced me to them and then I could talk to them. And then over time, you know, they would walk me up, but they would wait for me to introduce myself to the person. And so they were just very intentional about how they taught me how to engage people. And so find ways to challenge your team members, because most of your team members will value the fact that you're challenging them. They will value the fact that you are wanting them to be better and pushing them beyond their comfort zone, beyond what they're familiar with. They're gonna appreciate the fact that you're doing that. So challenge your team members. The third thing is appreciate them. Really make sure that you are showing them your appreciation. Make sure that you're showing them that you value them, that the things that they're doing are important, and that you are recognizing that. Now, you know, many of us, I don't know if this is true, but I know for me, the thing that I struggle with is if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, I probably don't say anything because you're supposed to do it. If you're my youth pastor and you are, you know, delivering a sermon every week in the youth group, I'm probably not saying, hey man, you did a great job on that sermon, because that's what you should be doing. That's your job. That's what I hired you for. But quite honestly, if I would take the time and just say, man, you really knocked that out of the park on Wednesday with the youth group, or man, I really appreciate how you put that sermon together in 2 days when everything was shifted around or whatever, you find something to really appreciate about them and what they're doing. It helps them feel noticed and recognized. Because I mean, you're listening to this, you're a pastor, you're a ministry leader, you know how easy it is to serve in ministry in obscurity. You know how easy it is to have some, you know, to be doing what you do and investing in people and have nobody ever notice and have nobody ever say, good job, or man, I really appreciated that. You know what that looks like. And so really put in the effort to appreciate your team members and thanking them and showing them that you value what they're doing, and do it publicly when you can. Recognize them publicly. Don't be the leader who takes all the credit and, you know, passes off blame to your team members. Instead, you know, when something goes well and something is really, you know, when one of your team members has invested time and done something really well, publicly thank them and appreciate them, because not only does it do world of good for them personally, but it also communicates to whoever is hearing, whether it's your congregation, whether it's their youth group or their kids group, whatever the case is, whoever you're communicating that to, it elevates that pastor or that ministry leader. It elevates them in their eyes. There's more respect, there's more trust, all of those things. And so appreciate them, but then appreciate them publicly as often as you can, because that will show, again, it'll show that they have value and that you're appreciating what they're bringing to the team and the work that they're putting there. You know, they're investing their life into the ministry that they're doing. You're appreciating that investment. And so, okay, so we're going to break real quick before we get to the next three. We're going to break real quick. I'm going to share with you my new blueprint, Design Discipleship Blueprint, and then we'll come back here and we'll do the next three. Hey, Ministry Hackers, let me pause this podcast for a second to tell you about this powerful tool I created for pastors and ministry leaders just like you who are serious about building an effective discipleship experience. As you know, bringing people into services week after week have shown to be an ineffective discipleship model. Many of us are returning to the drawing board to figure out how we get back to our roots of discipleship in the modern context that we find ourselves in. That's why I created the Design Engaging Discipleship Blueprint. When you purchase the blueprint today, you're going to get the framework and the one sheet that's going to walk you step by step through building a discipleship experience people will be begging to be a part of. The best part is you can have it up and running within just 30 days. The blueprint is going to show you how to structure your experience for maximum spiritual growth. It's going to help you with all the tech setup that you need, and it's going to lead you through the process of creating the structure of your experience. My goal is to partner with you in the battle against biblical illiteracy and endeavor to grow disciples to advance the kingdom of God. So for this reason, the blueprint is yours today for only $7. That's right, just $7. I've also thrown in a few bonuses that I'm not going to go into right now, but you can check out on the website at engagingchurchblueprint.com/design discipleship. You can also find it in the show notes and the description of today's podcast. Check out the website, get the framework and all the bonuses for just $7. All right, let's get you back to this episode of the Ministry Hackers Podcast. All right, so let's dive into the last three ways that you can either build a great ministry team or keep the great ministry team you have. The fourth thing you need to do is you need to empower them. Empower your team members. Delegate responsibility to them in increasing measure. And what I mean by that is delegate something to them, empower them to do something, and when they do it well, then empower them with something even more difficult or carries more responsibility. And as they do well, you keep increasing that level of empowerment. It's communicating that you're appreciating and trusting them with what you have. But then you're also investing in their growth and their development. So empower them, delegate responsibilities to them in increasing measure. Now, let's say you delegate and it all falls apart. They really drop the ball. They fail, whatever the case is. It's a great teaching moment. It's a great moment to come in and coach them, love them, instead of coming down hard on them and being like, man, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you didn't follow through. And I'm never going to give you another thing to do again. That's the wrong way to approach that. But there are a lot of pastors and ministry leaders that I've seen handle it exactly like that. A lot of lead pastors that I've watched, you know, they delegate out or they hand things off, they empower people on their team, and then their team just drops the ball that something fell apart. One of the things that I see a lot of times is things don't turn out the way the delegator wants it to because it wasn't communicated well enough. And so just because things fall apart doesn't mean that it's all on the ministry leader that you delegated to. It may just mean that there was a breakdown in communication. But when you delegate and things don't come together and they fall apart and you come in and you ask the questions and you say, it's all right, we'll figure it out, and you give them another chance, most of the time, they'll rise to the occasion. Every once in a while, you know, that won't be the case. But then what I would say is I would go back to, okay, well, maybe you need to look at your hiring process or your training process or your mentoring process, because if they're not doing the job well, then there's a breakdown in all of those steps to this point. And maybe it's time for them to move on to the next team. So empower them. You should not be the one who keeps the lid on empowering them to do other things. And when you empower, don't micromanage, don't watch over their shoulder and check up on them every, 10 minutes. How's it going? Are you doing this? Da, da, da. Give it to them, step away and let them figure it out. If they have questions, they'll come to you, but let them figure some things out. They're ministry leaders just like you. So let them figure things out and learn as they go. And when they need help, they'll come to you. And if they don't and it all falls apart, then you'll be able to say, next time, come to me and ask the questions you need to. So empower them. The fifth thing is to trust them. Now, this is more an internal thing instead of an external thing, because this is something you internally decide for yourself. I'm going to trust my team. You would be surprised at how many pastors and ministry leaders I have seen who build teams around them and then don't trust them. They essentially build people around them to do what needs to be done and to bark orders at, but never really trust them. And unfortunately, this is something you have to do internally. You have to decide for yourself. I am going to trust Bob, the youth pastor. I'm going to trust, Susie, the executive pastor, whatever the case is. Like, I am going to make the decision to choose to trust until they give me a reason not to. When you decide to trust your team, they become more trustworthy. And so it really starts with you. If you want your team to be trustworthy and you want to be able to count on them, then trust. Trust them, make that internal decision. So when you're empowering them, when you're giving them things to do, when you're sending them on a mission trip with a whole bunch of kids or whatever the case is, trust them. Because if you can't trust the team you have, you need a different team. And so, and if you're a person who doesn't really trust easily or trust well, then you're going to cycle through team members a lot. And you're never going to have a strong culture. You're never going to have a strong team. You're never going to have a solid foundation to move forward with for your church because you struggle to trust. And so, if you're the person, if you're the type of person that trusts, then you need to actually trust your people, let them either fail or fall apart or do well and succeed, whatever the case is, but you have to make the internal decision to trust. And then the final one, and this is probably the most obvious one, which is why I saved it for the last. Pay them well. If you have ministry team, you have pastors, ministry leaders on your team, pay them well. Now, what I mean by this though, I'm not saying pay them extravagantly. I'm saying pay them so that they can take care of their families. Pay them so that they can pay their bills. Now, I realize there are tons of different situations out there. Lots of churches who are, you know, trying to be creative on how they structure their budgets and things like that so that everybody gets paid. And so I understand there are varying circumstances that play into this. But I would say that if you hire a staff member, if you hire a pastor, ministry leader, if you hire them, make sure you can pay them and pay them enough so that their family is taken care of. If you can't do that, then don't hire them. Figure out how to do it with volunteers, figure out how to streamline your ministry, whatever the case is. I've seen too many pastors who get hired onto a team and the church really can't afford them to begin with. There's really no opportunity for increased salary, the family struggles because the pastor isn't making enough. And then over time, that pastor eventually has to leave just because he couldn't support his family. And then the church is all frustrated and upset that he's leaving, but it's because he wasn't taken care of. You're asking your team members to, number one, take care of you and take care of the church and the congregation that they serve. We need to reciprocate that then and take care of them. And so however that structure looks and whatever that looks like for you, you know, make sure that you are paying your team members well and pay them a competitive wage. So if you're in a situation where you can pay them within a range, I would say pay them enough to take care of their family and enough to recognize their skill set and their experience and what they bring to the table. Because again, that shows appreciation. It shows value. It shows that you trust them. It shows all those things. And so, and I hesitate even to bring this one up because I recognize that finances are tight for most churches. And I recognize that, you know, finances are a touchy subject for a lot of us. And so I get all of that. But I also know that a lot of pastors and ministry leaders leave the ministry because they can't support their families. And I think that if that's the case, then they shouldn't have been hired to begin with. If you can't support your ministry team members, then you are going to lose them. That's just the way it is. Because there comes a point where they just can't do it all. And I realize there's bivocational situations, and I think if those are working, you know, and those situations are functioning, that's great. But I also think that there are a lot of churches who are paying staff members and pastors part-time salaries, forcing them to then have another job outside of the church. And what it is spreading the resources too thin and not investing it into a strong volunteer culture, where you don't need all these part-time staff pastors. You can just have one or two staff pastors and really good volunteer system. And so if you're not able to pay your pastors and ministry leaders on your team, then let them go into other positions and build your volunteer base so that you have a strong leadership base that can be focused on their areas. And you don't have staff pastors who are trying to struggle with making ends meet while giving, you know, 40, 50 hours a week to you, the ministry and the church and the congregation. So again, I know it's touchy and I know it's difficult and it's, you know, we're all trying to navigate that, especially in light of COVID and everything. But I just think if you want to build a great team, or if you have a great team and you want to keep them, this is a factor that plays into it. And so I can't ignore it, and neither can you. So it's something we have to talk about. We have to figure out, and we have to do what we can to make sure that we take care of our team members so that we keep them on the team, or we bring them on the team and hold them on the team. So I think that one of the great things about ministry is working with a great team. I love the team. In fact, that's one of the challenges that I have now, because, you know, I'm consulting and I'm coaching and I'm, you know, I'm working with, you know, individual pastors, you know, around the country, but I don't have a team around me that I work with every day, that I'm in the office with. I don't have that. And so one of the things I miss about being on a church staff. And so if you're on a church staff and you're a pastor and ministry leader and you have a team around you, take care of them and value them. Because not everybody gets that. You know, there are a lot of lead pastors out there and they serve all by themselves in complete obscurity with no other pastors around them. So value the team that you have and the team that you're on. Because, you know, you never know. This may be the best team you will ever be on, and you're taking time not valuing them and not appreciating them and not investing in them. And so value the team you're on, hold on. If you're hiring and you're bringing on new team members, create a good onboarding system, create a good experience for them as they come onto the team and as they learn and acclimate to everything. Really take care of them on the front end so you keep them long-term and they feel a part of your team and part of your staff and part of your family right away. So, all right, that's my 6 ways to build a great ministry team. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll see you in the next episode.